and welcome to episode 72 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the show where a group of indie creators all sit around, talk about comics, maybe learn something, and who knows, we might actually be friends by the end of it. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the comic series The Red Mouse from Mars, and this week I'm joined by the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Mr. Daniel Butcher.
Hello.
Slight change in your normal.
He's obviously got his phone voice on. And we've also got writer, Down the Tubes contributor, and walking, talking, giant man thing, it's Tony Esmond.
He's called me a giant penis.
You obviously don't know your comics history.
Nice and so. Yeah, don't look at my internet history. Okay.
How are we, gents? Is good. Everyone?
Very good.
Yeah.
Been a fantastic week, has it not?
That's been, yeah, pretty good. Yeah, we did an extra episode, though, didn't we, which is quite funny. It made me laugh.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah, the convention special. We hope all you people that listened to it got a kick out of it and enjoyed it, even though we didn't really have that much to do with it. It was the lovely people that helped us out and did panels and audio and stuff. Yeah. So, but we're back to the normal format today. Is it a normal format? I think we've gotten used to it by now, haven't we?
It's about a month old now, isn't it?
Yeah. And we're going all right. It's been a long week, but I've been looking forward to chatting to these lads.
Oh yeah.
So there you go.
And you're on holiday next week, aren't you? You go to America.
I am. So we are recording the next episode early, but you're still going to get like next Monday. So don't get too ahead of yourselves.
Are we doing another one tomorrow night or Tuesday night? Aren't we?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right,
look, people don't want to hear about our scheduling.
They don't, do they?
Yeah. Welcome to the Scheduling Podcast.
They barely want to hear the show. So
yeah, I have to listen to it more than I'd like. But apart from recording that midweek con episode, what has everyone been up to this week?
Oh, I've had a good week, I've had quite a long week at work, but yesterday I ended up, there's a new comic shop near me in Hatfield.
Nice one.
Yeah, Calamity Comics, which I think has got two other venues. I know one's in Harrow. I think the other one's in Watford, if it's still there. I've been to them for a while, but there's a new one, which is in the mighty Hat. Has anyone been to Hatfield?
I have not.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say it makes Gillingham look posh. I'm going to say that. Don't think
Wow, okay. Fucking hell.
Yeah. But it's a good little venue. Right in the town square it is. Big shop, big back issue section. 44 White Lion Square, and a bit of a shout out to the owner and manager, Eric, who I had a conversation with, who is, as we speak, organising some signings, which we were just talking about, because I don't think they've been announced yet, so we can't say, but there's certainly some really good signings, which we'll cover in future episodes going on there. So if you are in the Hertfordshire or North London area, or anywhere really, to be fair, go to Calamity Comics, they've got a Facebook group, 44 White Lion Square, Hatfield, and he didn't give me any money to say that. Although I wish he had.
Yes.
There you go.
It's always good news to hear another comic book shop opening up.
It's brave times, isn't it, to open a shop, I think. And good on him, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
a bit of enthusiasm about it. And, you know, we stood there and talked comics with him. And I bought some back issues. Great to see a shop that's got a decent back issue selection as well. Yeah, so it's good.
That's all you want in a shop, isn't it, Tony?
That's all we want. And we will be talking about that in a minute, won't we?
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be talking about all kinds in a minute. But
how's your week been, you two, anyway? Never mind about me.
Vince?
It's been a week, isn't it? No, I'm, you know, been doing writing, drawing comics, just getting on with it.
Didn't you get a bit of a new writing thing going? I saw you post on Twitter or something, Facebook, didn't you, about...
Yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
I had a little sort of meet-up with the guys from the Sinister Horror Company, the lovely authors Justin Park and Daniel Mark Chant, two good buddies, and we've sort of made some plans for stuff in the new year. It's quite exciting.
That's cool, isn't it?
I am also sort of trying my hand at prose now and then.
Awesome.
So, you know, watch this space for more about that. So, what about you, Daniel?
I think I've written the first chapter of a horror book, but fucking hard. I find it very difficult. You go back and like have to cut out swaths of it. They're just overly long, kind of describing stuff.
Why are you doing that with the first chapter? Just write it and then go back and then edit it.
I don't know, yeah. This would be overly precious, I think. Yeah. That's why I don't think I'm destined to be a writer in that regards.
Well,
I've just been working hard. I'm doing a 5-page kind of sample comic called El Marvo. While Vanguard's on break. It's not written by me, I'm just doing the artwork. But it's really interesting. Really enjoying it.
Can you say who's written it, dude? Or
yes, Luke Condor and Ben Arrington.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Okay, we speak to them on Twitter quite a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
To give away too much, it's set in a sort of post-apocalyptic future where a superhero Mexican wrestler comes out of deep freeze to sort of save humanity.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Really kind of nice, fun Saturday morning cartoon kind of feel.
Sounds like an 80s action movie. And
we all love them.
Yeah, we do. You especially, Dan. Let's hope you've done your homework for this week's quiz.
Swatting up on Chuck Norris, etc.
You might have swatted up on the wrong action star. That's all I got. Bolt. But that's for later. Right now, we've got this week's topic, which could be an interesting.
Yeah.
In a time when, like, the price of individual issues of comics is like, it's never been more relevant, I think. Or never mind individual issues, trades, whatever. I think there's a lot of discussion about it. Whether you found yourself like an absolute bargain, and I love a bargain, people who know me know I'm a right cheapskate, or maybe you finish reading an issue and realise you just wasted your hard-earned money on that, which I think a lot of people probably have. I've experienced that as well. I think we can all agree that everyone's got their own opinion on the costs of like this medium we all love. So this week we're going to discuss and rant about it, like read out some listener opinions and the always interesting results of our weekly polls, which are, I think, are actually now a thing, aren't they? Our weekly polls.
Yeah, they've become a thing, haven't they? Yeah. And you like it. You like doing it all the time. Yeah.
We trust our polls as well, don't we?
What do you mean? Oh, right. No, but what's been great about them is the poll then ignites a discussion, which is brilliant. Yeah. And there's been some great discussion. So this topic has actually been in the pipeline for a little while now. This topic of pricing in comics, which is once again another broad topic, but we're going to talk about several different angles of it. So to get us started, I just want to read out the email that got us thinking about it.
Yeah, it's something we talked about. We mention it occasionally, don't we? We talk about books. Yeah. But this is who's it from?
Rick Jackson.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and he wrote in like a good email about it. This is a few weeks ago he wrote in, didn't he?
It was one of those things that this is good. We should focus on it. So we scheduled it in late. We already had some stuff basically in the pipeline. So we wanted to give it a proper focus rather than a 5-minute talk at the end of an episode, essentially. So here he goes.
I don't want to do it injustice.
Yeah. No.
It's the wankiest cough I've ever heard.
Wankiest cough sounds like a Star Wars villain.
Oh, it's my indie band.
Anyway, Rick says, "Hello, gents. Okay, Rick. Hope you're all doing well." Oh, thanks, Rick.
It's nice.
I happen to see a post on Facebook which got me thinking about a subject I would like to hear you discussing on the pod. Geeks Boutique in Watford posted that they will no longer be stocking new US comics due to the sorry state of the pound driving import prices upwards. They are a small indie store, and luckily for them, they don't rely solely on current comic sales to survive. However, it got me thinking about matters that affect us small press comics creators. On the one hand, homegrown comic creators may find themselves able to price their products comfortably below the big two, in the UK at least. This could well make well-marketed indie comics more attractive to mainstream customers, as it may appear to be worth taking a punt on them due to the competitive prices. Conversely, the higher US prices may mean regular buyers will put all their money into their most beloved titles only. Will we see comic stores that usually don't bother to stock indie comics deciding to take a chance on small press titles? If we think about small press comics creators as small businesses, there is certainly lots to consider too. Kickstarter offers us the chance to attract wider audiences, including those overseas. How will the suffering pound affect international backers? Does this present a great opportunity for us to get even more funding from outside the UK? Will it result in further oversaturation of the small press comics market? I'm sure you have plenty of ideas in the pipeline, but since it struck a chord with me, I thought I'd sling you an email about it to see if it was something you might like to cover. Keep up the good work, chaps. Rick, we're not going to talk about it.
I've never been to Geek Boutique, and that's not far from me. I should go there.
It sounds pretty good, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's good that you know, they'll be able to survive, hopefully, you know, without relying solely on sort of comic sales, you know, the big two sort of comic sales. But what do you obviously Rick, creator of the Brutal Bombshells, an all round top bloke whenever we've seen him. Thank you very much for getting in touch with us about that. So what do you think about what Rick said there?
With the presidential elections, that hasn't actually adversely affected the dollar as much as people thought it would. Am I correct in thinking that?
I don't think it has. I think it's still early days, isn't it? But I don't think so at the moment. Not in relation to the pound, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that might change come inauguration time, but for certainly for the moment. Yeah. I can only say that I've put out a tweet, this is weeks ago, saying that if you're going to hire a creator, go for a British one at the moment, if you're American or overseas, because of the you're going to get more bang for your buck, and I've got a job off the back of that. So,
oh, did you? Okay.
But certainly worth kind of, I'd imagine if you're going to commission an artist, if you're going to go overseas or a writer or whatever, you're going to be paying more, unfortunately. So that will kind of influence your decision, surely a little, at least. As opposed to kind of the price in the comics, it has jumped up, hasn't it? The big two comics and the import comics have jumped up, but they've completely stopped selling them. That's an interesting move.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, comics are too expensive. I'm going to, you know, I might say that they are. They're too expensive for what they are.
Yeah.
So I did a bit of a breakdown of a couple of things this week in preparation. Shall I run through one of them and just see what you think?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I bought the new... I'm not picking on Marvel because I love Marvel. You know, if there's one... If anyone said to me, you're right, you can only buy one company's comics, for me it'd be Marvel, and it always has been, you know. But I do think they're suffering from... And DC, and Image, and Dark Horse are suffering from being too expensive at the moment. I bought the trade of the new Power Man and Iron Fist series. You know, the Dave Walker, Stanford Green book?
Yeah.
Very good book, you know, interesting. It's not perhaps my favourite portrayal of them. You know, I was chatting to you off air about the Kerry Gamble, Joe Duffy, you know, series, which I really liked. The first trade is issues 1 to 5. Okay, if you're going to buy it from Amazon, it cost me $20 at their table for 5 issues. So that's $4 an issue in a trade. So I'm actually paying a penny more more than I would have done if I'd have bought the single issues.
Do you not get any additional content?
There's a little tiny bit, but not much. It's a very thin trade. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
You don't get, you know, it obviously occasionally is resale value in single issues, isn't there? So you don't get the benefit of that. If I bought it digital, it would be £10.49. So that is £2.62 an issue if you break it down, which is 3 pence less than if I'd bought single issues. And on Amazon, it's £12.32 to buy the book. But bizarrely, because if you look on Amazon, for a Kindle, it's £3.84. I don't really know how that works.
No.
They need to address their pricing, you know.
Big time.
Why would a trade be more expensive than all the issues put together?
Yeah, because I think it's a foolish way of looking at. I think the comic scene is in some ways is moving a lot more into people waiting for trades. They, you know, the trades are getting more popular. You know, these collections, almost more so than the individual issues. So therefore, thinking it's the waiting for trade mentality. On the other side, it's like, well, if people are going to wait for this, we'll put the price up more. But that's not really why, you know, people wait for trade. I think some of the reason people wait for trades is they're like, I want it to read in one book, and it'll be a little cheaper than buying the individual issues.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly.
That's why people wait for the trades.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a big Valiant reader at the moment, so I've been buying quite a lot of trades to catch up to where my single issue buying stages are, you know.
And the quality of the Valiant books is...
Oh, I love them. They do have a bit of extra back matter in them compared to a lot of the other trades. But, you know, they have all the variant covers. They usually have a few pencil pages and stuff like that. But, for example, Unity Volume 7, which is their sort of Avengers book, really, £13.99. It contains 3 issues.
Is this that's ridiculous. Is that hardback or is that softcover?
Softcover.
Softcover.
And that's just a normal trade. And that's £4.66 an issue if you break it just solely down into the issue prices.
That's ridiculous.
And I'm sorry, seeing pin-ups and seeing the pencil sketches and all of that, that's lovely having that as back matter.
You don't spend long, though, do you, looking at them?
Yeah, but that doesn't make up the money that you're, that doesn't cost more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's madness.
It is crazy, isn't it? It really is. Yeah.
Considering, I would imagine Valiant do quite well from their trades, don't they?
I think their business, I would hazard a guess that their business model is based on bookshop trade sales, because it's action, pulpy action, so people are going to buy it in trades as opposed to single issues sometimes. I don't know. Is that a good guess, I reckon?
I can honestly say, this is just me personally, the Valiant books I've read and I've enjoyed have always been trades. I don't read the individual issues,
Yeah,
do you think comics always kind of suffered from that 90s era of collectibles, and then they took on something more than being just something you read and enjoyed, something to be collected and
bagged
cherished
and,
a bit more, bagged and put away in boxes, and for some reason the price has kind of hoiked up and maybe it's alienated people. I'm not saying that's the case, but...
You might be right, yeah. For me, a trade's almost like I'll buy a first issue or something and then I'll miss the second and third issue sometimes because I forget to add it to my pull list. And I think, I'll buy that in trade now.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a sort of half double dip on it,
Yeah.
Because I've moved pretty much into trades because they're easier to read. Like, if I want to read that book, I'll pick it out and there's like all the issues in there rather than having to dig out a long box.
Yeah. I would say certainly with physical, more the mainstream books, and I'm talking Marvel, DC, and Image as well, and Valiant, that's trades. I find with my individual issue buying, it's all independent and like small press and stuff. Like when I'm at conventions, that's when I do a lot of my individual
issue
buying. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Let me give you another one then. Okay, so he's my favourite character, Master Kung Fu. There's an omnibus just come out, isn't there? It's a big hardback collection of the run. And it's been a long time coming, this, because of the sort of copyright wrangles with the people who own, all the characters or a lot of the characters.
It's been very sought after for a very long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been talked about for a long time. So the first omnibus it contains 28 comics, and it's £104.50.
Fucking hell.
Okay? Yeah. So it's 28 comics. So if you divide that up, forget it's a hardback. If you're just going to buy the single issues, it would be £3.73 an issue. Where it's actually cheaper just to buy the single issues.
Yeah, that's.
I know you get it in a nice collection, and I'm a mug. I admit it. Day one, I'm a mug around stuff like this, and I've got shelves full of hardbacks.
But I think that you're the audience for that particular product.
Yeah,
they're taking advantage of, I'm in my late 20s now, nearly middle-aged men with a job, and, the nostalgia and the wallet to back up the nostalgia to buy these books.
That's what it is. It's very sort of savvy. Well, a lot of people are desperate for this, so a lot of people will pay for this. And because it's not such a mainstream title, it's not so, it's almost really pinpointing the way they can manipulate your buying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway. I'll tell you what was strange. I think you sent us a couple of photos of the essential guides to stuff Black Panther and Doctor Strange. And it's like, here's a great way for people who are interested in the films that just come out of the cinema, go into the comic shop and they can pick up an essentials guide. Right, I want to catch up on Doctor Strange. And then they're hit with like a book, which is essentially reprints from comics of 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
For like 30 or 40 quid.
You're talking Epic collections, aren't you?
Yeah.
So the Epics are the new. So the Essentials was the phone directories that came out a few years ago. They stopped doing them.
Right. But they're still really expensive.
They are to buy back. Yeah. To buy secondhand or even just to buy off Amazon. They can be. I know you looked at Tomb of Dracula, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't you? And it was stupid price.
Yeah.
But they moved on. Then they did a color version of that, which is called the Epic collections, which is they're reprinting them again, a lot of the stories again. And they're £20 and up.
Right.
And we talked about it, didn't we, Danny? So these are books that have been out for 4 years. These comics have been out for 4 years.
Yeah.
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 Especially like in a in a world where the Marvel Unlimited, the digital ones, you know, you can sign on for that and you've pretty much got an open, you know, you can read anything from the past, can't you?
I think it goes up to a certain date, doesn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't have a Marvel Unlimited subscription.
No, I don't know.
No.
But apparently, you know, that's perfect if you want to check out all those old ones, right? It's just a shame because I'd like to have collections like that in, you know, on the bookshelf. But sometimes the price does sort of like, you know, it's really put you off.
Hard to justify that for me.
That was why when I went into a charity shop once and they had two essential collections of like X-Men, like the Uncanny X-Men. I was like, right, two of them for like £3. Bang on. Right.
Yeah. Charity shops, not all charity shops are as good as others. Some are quite savvy now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I saw a Misty annual in a charity shop near me, and it was £25.
I saw a comic that was for £2 in a local charity shop, and it had Free Comic Book Day not on the top.
There's a comic stall at the South Bank. You know where the BFI is in the National.
I do know that fucking stall. Yeah.
And they'll sell, like, I don't know, fucking Spawn issue 56 for £7.
Yeah.
Just because people think, oh, a comic, yeah, Spawn, oh, wow, must be worth a few quid. It's not worth 50p.
That stall is
a fucking rip-off on everything.
Don't get excited.
They occasionally catch me taking pictures of the issues and putting them on Twitter. Yeah.
But that's suffering from, like, I think every listener and all of us can say that they've had someone who sees you reading a comic or, like, you're getting a comic and they think, oh, that's going to be worth a bit in a few years. And you look at the issue you're reading and you think, this isn't going to be worth anything. But everyone thinks as soon as you've got a comic in your hands that you have some collectible that's going to be worth 10 times.
Yeah, it's like albums in your loft, isn't it? Everyone's got Dark Side of the Moon, but they all seem to think they've got £100 record in their loft.
I was saying, with the Marvel, the online pricing, they seem to have got it very right there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder if they'd move to a kind of Netflix kind of thing where they have a certain amount of the catalogue available for a couple of months and then they switch it. Because if you have all of it available all the time, surely the audience at some point should say, right, I've done it all. I'm moving on. Whereas if you kind of constantly rotated it, I know that's not a good thing for readers, but as a business thing. But obviously there's, I think a lot of people have got their digital strategy very badly wrong.
I mean, I certainly think that some of the Marvel issues and DC actually, you know, the big two, their digital pricing can be a lot for what you're getting. That's not to say that, you know, these books aren't full of beautiful artwork and, you know, wonderful story writing, but, you know, when you get like essentially 20 pages but it's cost you $2.99,
Marvel, the $3.99 books currently on Comixology are £2.49, aren't they?
Yeah.
Dark Horse same. Image, they vary at Image, $1.99 or $2.49. But most of DC's books are $1.99 digital. It's still a lot of money though. Do you know what I mean?
I always have the problem with the digital. I'm not really kind of converted over to digital comics yet. I still prefer them. I mean, we past guest on the show, Ryan K. Lindsay, seems to have just got that down pat. Yeah. Obviously, being in the States and him doing like 99
Australia.
Australia, sorry. 99 cents. $0.99 for an issue. And rather than getting like a few people on at $3.99, whatever, you get hundreds and hundreds of people on in the 99. And it just seems to do a lot better that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe people's opinion haven't changed about digital, but I still think...
Well, one of our polls is about digital, so it's going to be interesting.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we will revisit this subject shortly. Yeah.
Because I think I've put Vanguard on for the trade for $10 or $8 on Comixology. And I think that's pretty low because it's a 150-odd page book. And most of the single issues are... 79 cents up to a point.
Oh yeah, no, I think that's pretty decent value. I think
But like I said, when you kind of, if you're looking at a real world value for a comic book you're paying for digitally, like I could go and buy the trade for this or a comic.
Yeah,
why am I going to buy the digital version? For me at least, I'm always thinking, why am I doing this? Because it doesn't feel like I'm getting anything.
I think we don't want to sound like moaners, do we? You know, we don't want to sound like people who go, oh, they're too expensive. I mean, we all know, and I go and buy comics every week at my local comic book shop, we all know that comics are too expensive. But I think what you've got to try and do is you've got to try and give value for money is what you give as much as you can, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And having a recap page as part of the art pages isn't enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which...
And it's a very... I mean, it is... You do have to think, I'm paying for art. So, okay, so if we look at it from the point of view that we are paying for an art piece of art, then it becomes a subjective matter, doesn't it? About if you like Liefeld or you like Stalin, you know, you're paying for the art and you're probably more prepared to pay for an artist who you like.
Yeah.
Is that something you think?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I would say, certainly. So, or not say artists, just creative writers, just anyone in general.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, it's all down to the individual, isn't it, at the end of the day? Because there's been times where I love the artist, but not always on board with the price point. But that's me personally, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, we do live in a disposable, it is a disposable art form and should be, you know, cheap. Yeah. So you don't worry. I mean, I worry about rolling a comic up now and putting it in my back pocket because I've just paid £3 for it.
Yeah. I won't do that. There's times I've got it out of my bag and the corner's been caught and I said, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah. And we're not really resellers, are we? We're just sort of crazy hoarders as well, you know. So it's sort of, you know, but I do seem to, you know, you're right, when I pull it out of the rucksack, you know, on the train and I've ripped the cover or something, I think, oh, bloody hell.
Yeah.
You know, how am I going to resell that? And I think, well, I'm not going to, am I?
No.
Let's face it. Yeah.
Maybe just stick it on the pile and then do that again.
Yeah.
That never-ending pile, that Sarlacc pit of comic books that Tony's got. Yeah. Let's bring this back around to like independent and small press then.
Yeah.
When in terms of prices, because obviously we've just talked about the big two. You know, their prices are too much. But how? What about the independent?
Yeah, I've gone through a few actually. So sort of our regular interactors and listeners and stuff like that. I've been through a few of their comics just to see what we thought about it. Shall I run a few through?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So, Matt Garvey, I've just written the intro for the Cordelia Swift trade, and that is, I think, 4 issues, black and white, $9.99, hardback. That's pretty good value, I'd say.
Yeah, that's pretty good value.
Yeah, especially hardback.
Yeah, and that's, it is reduced at the moment, I think, if I'm not wishing to do an advert for Matt at all, if you're listening, Matt.
He's doing well on sales.
Yeah, so he keeps telling us. Yeah, yeah. Now, it's £3 for a single issue. Again, black and white, good value.
So, who's this for? Sorry, again?
Cordelia Swift.
Okay.
How many pages are we looking at?
I didn't write down the page count for this one. I think it's 20, 24, something like that.
I think the problem smaller press have got is the fact that the printing costs of, if you're doing kind of single issues, the print costs
lower print runs,
so,
yeah.
So much higher.
Yeah, lower print runs and also markups, isn't it? You know, depending on how much you want to make. I mean, I think that price, it sounds fine to me, you know, if I wouldn't.
So if you walk past the table at a convention, £3 for an issue, you give him £3, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you liked it, you give him £3, that's fine. Okay. Next one, I want to just pick out Matt. The next one is Reckless Heroes, the two Chrises, Imbert and Jenkins. Mm-hmm. And Last Sheriff, 24 pages, full colour, £3 again. I'm going to say it's good value.
Yeah.
Cracking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, nice I know that will certainly print runs do come into that, because when I did the first issue of the Red Masks, that was a larger print run, so I could charge it less. As I was doing smaller print runs, you know, I'm not hiking my price up every time. I just had to put an extra 50p on it. Do you know what I mean? Just because otherwise, I wasn't. There was nothing.
You're running at a loss or making
money.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not making. I'm not really making anything from this. You know. Still, you do want to try and make something, don't you? But go on.
Yeah,
Reckless Hero, I think that's a fantastic price for the
I think so. It's a good little product as well. Nice book, really good book, in fact.
Yeah.
I think comparably, I think small press has come out of this. I went through, you know, 6 or 7 sort of, you know, our regular sort of interactors and people we talk about. So the next one is Mike Garley's The Kill Screen. So that's 36 pages, black colour, £4. So I think that's acceptable as well, don't you? I think
totally. Yeah, that's totally on point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Breakdown Press, a book that I reviewed recently. The Artist. Did you read the review I put up of that?
I have not yet.
I sent it to you, didn't I, think? Mm. Did I send it to you on WhatsApp?
I can't recall.
Yeah. Just okay, say yes.
Okay.
Okay, so this is a book that's a reprint, mostly a reprint with some new material. It's already been posted in a magazine. 64 pages, full colour, $12.99. I'm going to say a little bit over the odds for that one.
A little.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little.
Yeah, I would say.
Then again, if you really liked it, I personally could take or leave it. Would it be worth it to you? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, as the difference as well, obviously, when you're buying off the small press creator, you can see the person that's going to, essentially, whereas the bigger boys, it's kind
and
of...
And also an individual kind of has put in a, they've put in a lot of hard work for it. That's, you know, whatever we say now, it's not to belittle anyone's hard work on these issues.
It's the same as well, like, I know individuals work on all the big two products and stuff like that, and not meaning to belittle them in any way, but, like, obviously, when you're buying a Marvel title, you feel like, well, at least I do. At least that's going to a corporation.
But
you want the creator, you want the artist to be paid, you know.
Exactly.
But if I'm being sort of devil's advocate about it, if I was just looking at the numbers, 64 pages, I would say probably a tenner. I'm more likely to buy it for a tenner than $12.99. I know that's only a couple of pounds difference, but that's a couple of pounds that could be another comic book. So
that's where we took the leap. We took the leap from creator-owned or small press indie creators to a small publishing company. So Breakdown Press are a small publishing company with people that they presumably employ who either get paid or don't get paid to put this book that has been made by somebody else or two other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it makes sense. Yeah.
So there's that little leap, isn't there? There's that step up suddenly. So does the cost go up because of that? You know, I'm not, you know, economics is not my thing, but that's something, isn't it?
Then, actually, it depends how kind of serious they are. If they've got people working on it as part of their job, and part of a living, I can imagine they would have to increase the price.
Yeah. Okay. Next one, favourite of mine, Hilda. So from Nobrow. So oversized, hardback, full colour, 80 pages, $12.95.
That's good.
So when you think, and that's a big old, that's oversized hardback kids book.
Yeah,
you know, high quality paper, $12.95. I'm actually surprised they managed to do it at that price because that is a good price.
Yeah.
Then Avery Hill, our favourites, $12.99, full colour, 136 pages, is Untitled Ape.
Yeah, that's
great.
Interesting.
That's a great price.
Yeah,
they've done really well there.
They have,
I mean, it's such a factor for the small press guys when you kind of factor in all this stuff in. Like you say, Vince, you don't want to kind of do it for virtually nothing or give it away. You want to make a bit out of it, because otherwise, what's the point of doing it? You could just stick it online as a webcomic and people have it for free. An interesting one.
Actually, this is quite interesting because we got an email. Which kind of ties into this. This is from Lyndon White.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about him in a minute.
Yeah. So he emailed us and said, just wanted to drop us a line about pricing in comics. I have to put the shout out. He said, I always price my books so I'm making at least 300% markup. Some of my books go higher than this while still remaining affordable. I've got comics, 20 to 32 pages, full colour, ranging from £3 to £6. And now a graphic novel at $11.99. Having a 300% plus markup means I can cover the printing costs, money for transport, and hotels at events, or even a book or comic shop taking a cut, while still easily making a decent profit. I know it's not always doable, but getting a larger print run of your books really helps you cut down the printing costs. Outside the indie scene, Image always amazing at prices. Charging £7.50 for the first trade makes it easy to try different books.
Agreed.
He thinks pricing overall is pretty good, but creators do need to make sure they are getting decent printing deals to make sure they can turn a profit and not struggle to break even. So thank you very much for that, Lyndon.
Thanks for that, Lyndon. I mean, that opens up the world of registering for tax. Certain places you have to register a business interest. You know, that does open up that, because you are moving from what is a hobby into a business, you know, a proper full-on business, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the difference with a lot of small press. The comics I've always bought out have been because I've never made money on them.
Yeah,
because I do it as a hobby.
Yeah.
Mm. Now people see. We talked about this last week, didn't we? People see small press as a business now.
Yeah.
You know, and a career sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's a whole different ball game, isn't it?
Yeah, which is what, like Rick mentioned it in his original email, you know, thinking small press creators are small businesses, you know, so there's lots to consider, but you have to be serious. If you're thinking in that sort of angle, then you've got to be serious and you've got to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. That's a different ball game entirely, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I think also you can add value to what you're selling by adding like ancillary items like kind of badges and stickers and stuff like that. I mentioned as well about like the freebies that people are kind of claiming that they got from Thought Bubble and stuff. Like someone's bought them, someone's paid for them, like a creator. So kind of saying, look, I've got all this free stuff. Yeah. It's not free.
If you're given a comp copy, or if you're given like a review copy, or you know, a creator has been nice enough to give you a copy of their issue because I don't know, you've done a good review or you've worked with them or whatever. Always have in the back of your mind, they're never freebies because someone's paid for that printing. You know, even if the creator does sort of go, here, have a free issue. Here's your free issue. You still got to have that in your mind that, you know, that's someone's hard-earned money that's gone into this. And so they're being generous enough to give you a copy. You shouldn't walk away sort of thinking, ha-ha, I've got all these free comics.
You know? That is... I find it almost, you know, it's a bit of a noose around my neck when I get sent a comic, you know?
I can understand why, because there's an obligation there.
Yeah, and I always have to say to them, look, if it's not something I want to review, I will say digital's different. If you send me a digital copy, I may not get to review it, and it's cost you the time that it's done to send me it. But a physical comic, I have to say, look, I'm not. It's not my thing. Do you want me to send it back to you?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You know. Maybe even like do the ground beforehand, if he was unsure about that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's a bit difficult to do that to loads of reviewers.
Yeah. I mean, we've been offered some comics 100 times. I think we got offered. You know, if you're at Thought Bubble, pop by and I'll give you a comic, and I think that's marvellous. And I really like that series.
We are really touched by the generosity of all the people that have been in touch with it. It's been amazing.
But a lot of the time is I've got it on a hard drive, and I've really liked it, and I don't want to see you give me a freak. That's cutting in. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit of that sometimes. I think.
Yeah, I'm totally that. I was speaking to someone this week on the emails, and they were saying, what's your address to send something out? And I was like, you don't have to.
Yeah.
They were kind of said, yeah, please do. And I was like, okay.
But yeah.
And I like to think if we like something, we've helped the sales. I know we have, you know, quite a lot of the time we've helped people sell comics.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mind that so much, but I will always put my hand in and offer to pay for a book.
Yeah.
At a convention. Yeah. You know?
There was, last time I was at Thought Bubble, I remember we got the book, Girls Like You, which was one of my favorite books. And I talked about it on the show, loved it, you know, read this PDF that they sent through. And when I saw them at Thought Bubble, I was like, I'd love a copy of that. But, you know, I insisted on giving them money. Do you know what I mean? It's like, look, I want this. You know, I'm doubling up on this, so take my money.
Yeah.
Because you deserve it, sort of thing.
I did the same with Daniel Warren Johnson at New York, you know.
Yeah.
He said, no, you have me on the podcast now. I said, no. No, I want a copy of this. I want you to draw in it. Here's the money, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, what do we think about comp copies that you brought it up there? So if you work, so you guys do a lot of pin-ups for books and stuff like that, don't they? Don't you?
Yeah.
For small press creators, you know.
Yeah.
It's a reciprocal arrangement sometimes, I would say. Yeah.
Yes.
I would say as kind of like a thing. It's like I've been working for Comic House doing the comics for them. They send me through 5 issues of the comic. And I think that's a lot. But it's part of the kind of payment package they've kind of worked out. But I think at least one issue of what you've done is just like, you've worked on this, here's a copy of it.
So
I think that should be unspoken almost.
There's two worlds to this, isn't there? There's the pay job, where it's almost part of your contract that you're going to get. What about the freebie pin-up that you've done? What's your thoughts on that?
I would consider maybe getting you'd get a copy of the pin-up. Or
it also depends on how it's been used.
Recent
example, I did a pin-up for Ness. For Chris Welsh's Ness. I believe you did as well, Dan.
I did, yeah.
Even though you didn't sign it.
Oh yeah, we talked about that. Didn't we?
Yeah. But I also pledged the Kickstarter because I just wanted the issue, you know, because with that book, the pinup didn't necessarily appear in the book. He has it as like, you know, special Kickstarter rewards and prints and stuff. So when I got, the package through, I had the comics, you know, and I had the prints, but he gave me more copies of my print.
Oh, nice one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that was quite cool. So, you know, I know Chris is very much like, you know, here's something for you that you could possibly sell on yourself, you know, because you've worked on it, and he, you know, that was quite cool. So that's a good example of someone, you've done your work and they're like, right, here you go, have some copies of what you've done.
I said a quick aside on the signature thing. I always found that weird, and I still don't do it most of the time, because where I've worked in kind of design and print all the years, like putting a signature on my work is like really alien. So got to force myself to do it more.
The thing is, Dan, your work is certainly getting out there more now. So, you know, I think you've got to...
Need to start putting a little
especially
thing on
if you're
it
doing
to sort of...
pin-ups and posters and you're doing covers for other people. Just have it Bastard Butcher just written in big letters across it.
I think it's all right on pin-ups. I completely agree with you on pin-ups, even when the pin-ups have a credits page.
Yeah.
But I think I do get slightly wound up by people who seem to sign every fucking page that they
I don't... Yeah, because you get that.
Yeah.
Some artists. Is it Sean Gordon Murphy? He does that.
Does he sign everyone?
Not necessarily everyone. Yeah. I think some of the bigger ones he might do.
Takes you out of it a bit, you know?
Yeah. If you see it within the sequential pages, yeah, that's totally like, hey, what?
Yeah.
There's you're like this, Tony. There's the X-Men run. What was it? The new X-Men. There's an episode with like sex written on every panel in the background. Yeah.
Oh.
Like the pattern of the leaves. Say, the pattern of the leaves in like in a panel will say sex. And the railings, there'll be sex pointed in it. I'll try and find the link and send it on to you.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I know you're a big sex fan.
Cover, actually, I thought you might like
Jack Vance.
What's the name of the book?
Servant.
I think you're a big sex fan. Oh, dear. Anyway, right. See, there's so much to talk about with this subject. Let's read the results of the first poll, right? Because we were talking about the prices of small press and big stream, big comics. So the first one was, at conventions, do you think that the majority of independent and small press comics you see are appropriately priced? Now, we had three answers. Yes, no, and I don't buy small press. So, which, you know, I put that in there because some people probably don't. But what do you think... with the results,
I'm going to be positive again and say yes. I think people.
Yeah,
think
I would say yes.
You're both correct. With 73%, most people thought that yes, indie and small press comics you see are appropriately priced. 27% said no, and absolutely no one said I don't buy small press. So I'm hugely proud of you people out there that voted.
Yeah.
Well done. You know, that's what we like to see.
Yeah, I can't imagine too many people listening to this podcast and not buying
too
small
many
press.
To this podcast. Full stop.
Yeah.
Yes, very true. But I think it's interesting that. It's 73%. It's wonderful that, you know, that was the majority.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that 27% said that they are. Do you think that's the result of bad experiences with?
Is that the result of, like, I've been to a table before and picked a comic up, and I'm easily swayable. You know, a pretty face. You know, that's why I bought Vince's first book. You know, they're like a pretty face, and they'll go, oh, yeah, this, you know, and it's the story of a troll who, you know, who's got a girlfriend. You know, oh, yeah, okay, right, okay, yeah. And I'm too embarrassed to put it down sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they'll go, I'm not saying troll, that's not particular, that's just made that up then. You know, it's an autobiographical comic about my cat or something, you know, and I'm like, oh, right. And they'll go, oh, okay, I'll have that. And I put my hand in my pocket and they'll go, that'll be £8. I'm like, fucking hell. Really?
Yeah.
And as I walk away, I think, oh, I've been proper, had my trousers pulled down around that one. Do you know what I mean? We all had that, surely. And you open it up and it's complete cack.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually feel embarrassed and I feel angry for having been had over and bought a load of old pack for like 7 or 8 quid. Yeah, yeah.
We've done the ones we've ranted about a couple of times, but in comic shops where they're selling sort of small press stuff and there's like an A4 photocopied thing that's been stapled together and it's like £5. And it's like, oh, fuck's sake. I don't know how you can charge this much. It's ridiculous.
It's just
banged out in the work photocopier.
Just drawn on a photocopy picture of an arse.
I broke the work photocopier once.
Yeah, that's for you. You should have talked about that on the sex show, Tony. You can't talk about it now. Yeah, we had some interesting a couple of opinions on this. At Terry NGP Kane, this is an interesting one. I think they're fair, but I've been told about production costs involved. If I hadn't, I don't know if I would answer the same.
Oh, okay.
That's quite interesting. Yeah. Because obviously, when you're making your own comics, you know how much work goes into it. But for those people that just say normally buy just the big two, are they going to be won over by a higher price point? I did it just to get that noise from you both.
I think they would. People are a bit more lenient. I'd expect them to pay more in a small press.
I like to think we don't see it. I mean, I'd love to. There'd be an ideal world where we don't see a difference and we buy books based on their quality.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Yeah,
but I think a lot of on both sides of the fence, there's a lot of shite out there.
Yeah.
And I think the quality of the comic is very much a scale on whether I would buy it or not.
Yeah.
You know, I would buy something by, like Steve Tillotson, I'd buy something by him if it was a couple of quid more because I like his stuff. Yeah. And I know the effort that goes into it, or Dean Beatty or someone, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people out there, I'd think, that same price, I wouldn't because it's cack.
Yeah. There's no gatekeeper on small press comics. That's one of his strengths, obviously, one of his weaknesses as well, that anyone can make a comic and get it printed up, and the quality of it, or lack of, you won't really find that out until you kind of paid for it and read it.
I mean, like Wild Goose, I paid twice the price for Wild Goose's books because they're so good.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm genuinely excited for Ivory Tower. I can't wait.
Mate, am I seeing you at Orbital this week?
Hopefully, yeah.
Make sure, if you can get in early this week, because I got preview copies on the front counter for free.
If anyone feels sorry that I'm being ostracised from this group, you can email us.
You'll be in New York the next day.
Yeah.
Fuck you!
I want loads of WhatsApp pictures of you in your hotel room.
Oh, you'll get them. You won't like what you'll see. Rick Jackson also replied to this particular poll as well. He said, as a creator, yes, it's fine. But as a punter, the prices aren't consistent and it's not clear why to a customer.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty
spot on. I can understand how if you'd kind of walked down the small press aisle or the comic creators and then you were kind of glancing at all the prices and you'd be like, whoa, why is that like 3 quid more than Joe Bloggs next to him?
Yeah.
And like I said, it depends. Some like it's more of a business, so they've got a larger amount of issue ones or whatever, so they can put a lower price point, etc.
Yeah.
But then other people kind of just boosting up the price to make a few quid.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one, but
yeah.
I just presume like all kind of capitalist stuff, it would find its level at some point.
There's a lot of people out there who think they can chance their arm and charge a bit more to make a few quid. And there's a lot of people out there think, oh, it's cost me this much to print. I'll add this bit, then you can make a little bit of a profit. They'll buy me a coffee at a convention. You know, there's a few people on either side of that world, aren't there?
Mark Lamming also got in touch at monkey_mark. He said, this being comics, it's art and story that determine whether I think I've had value for money rather than price point. I also appreciate that small press books tend to have a higher price point due to how many comics the creators can afford to print. That's pretty much
good.
I think that's a nice one to end on for that one.
Now
the next one is the interesting one. Well, they're all interesting. All our polls are amazing.
We like to think so.
But this is the digital poll. Ooh.
Oh.
Now
I like a bit of digital.
Yeah. And polls.
I like all European countries.
Yeah. Wonderful. Right. Now, this question is...
So you just hate the people in them, Tony?
To be fair...
I just hate everyone.
Yeah, he does hate everyone. He is in equal opportunities. Like, Yeah. Machine. Right, this question is, what is the most you would spend on a 24-page digital single issue? And that's all currencies. You know, it was quite a broad question, so I just wanted to make sure it was a 24-page digital issue.
This would be interesting.
The answers for this are below one, and this is dollars, pounds, euros, whatever.
Yeah.
Between one and two, two and three, and three and above.
Two and three.
I'm going one and two.
Oh. Well, Tony, you're correct.
Oh, everyone's a James Gate. Okay. Well done, mate.
Now, 8% said below one.
Right.
55% said between one and two.
Right.
26% said two and three. And 11% said three and above.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Part of me was quite surprised that 11% said three and above for 20, you know, $3, pounds, whatever, for a 24-page single issue. Do you know what I mean? That seems a little steep to me.
It depends. If I guess it's the big two, that's what they are anyway, aren't they?
Not a 24. Well, your average 22-page Marvel issue is $2.49.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's well UK, above then.
In the UK, yeah. So, I mean, I know when Ryan K. Lindsay was on, we talked briefly about digital, and he was like, you know, he very much sort of reins in how much he's spending on his digital. You know, I think he said $5 is the most that he'll spend on a digital book, because if you think about it, there's no cost of printing. I know there's the cost of what's gone into the book, but if you're talking about actual product that you're holding in your hands, there's nothing.
I mean, $2.49 for a digital is like, what's that, like 12 pence a digital page?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How is there so little difference between a physical printed copy and a digital copy?
Yeah. I think it's madness. You know?
Yeah.
I personally think there should be a bigger... I think if there's a bigger difference, then the results would be quite huge, I think.
Yeah.
Well, to make the jump to...
To digital,
From digital, yeah, from hard... There was, it's not quite the same, but there was a parallel drawn between the video game industry. At some point, they said, look, we could just go digital and just basically undercut. You wouldn't have to fucking bang out games on discs and stuff anymore. And there was a point where it's like, well, we're not going to do that because that would just kill us, basically. Like, we'd lose so much money on it for the market that you're doing, like, the hard copies.
But well, because everyone would counterfeit them more.
Well, no, everyone would just go digital as opposed to buying... If it'd be so much cheaper to do the digital stuff... but that's still not an issue that kind of resolve itself. I mean, you go online today to buy a video game, and it's as much as buying it in the shop. It's like £44 or whatever.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's a digital product, though, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah, but it's kind of like the problem I have with the digital stuff, and I think maybe consumers have been burned with it before. Is like stories like Amazon, when suddenly they find your account is wrong, or you've got some dodgy book on there you shouldn't have, and they just reach in and turn your account off. It's like all your purchases you made are now gone. I don't think Comixology has the power to do that. We can't use that app for that reason to put in dodgy ones. But
for me, at least,
I always have that issue. I always thought if someone could just reach in and take away stuff you've bought.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
I've never bought an illegally... Well, I don't know what you call it because I don't understand computers, but you know where they put up a comic for free on one of these sites?
A torrent,
So I've never got a torrent.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Do you have to pay for a torrent, or do they just do it for free?
No, it's free. It's like pirating. It's like movies. It's exactly the same, only it's digital.
It's file sharing,
Yeah.
Right, okay. And there are sites for that, are there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're the same sites that people would pirate movies or music.
Right.
Can get, like, comics or novels or just whatever, you know. Basically, Tony, anything in the world, if you want it, the internet's there. The naughty, naughty internet.
But I think for that reason, someone would download an ebook or whatever and then pop it on their Amazon Kindle.
Right.
And then the Amazon checks, hold on, that's not on there. They've not bought that from us. And the only way they can get it is buying it from us. So something's wrong.
That's
with
weird because I've, when I used to use a Kindle, I used to put a lot of my own Word documents on there.
Yeah.
Do you reckon
they could go in and look at it, could you, or?
Well, I think certainly they've got access to the device.
Right, okay.
But maybe it's just a thing that checks the stuff you've bought on your Kindle is there or not.
Do you know what I mean? I can read my diary that I put on there.
Christ. Hold on. No, but there was a well-documented case with a lady who basically had her account suspended, and she contacted them, and they were sort of saying, well, you've got this stuff in there. And it's like, well, I've bought that from you. And all these purchases she had made were gone. Or there was something like a novel or something that had questions. Not questionable material, but basically the rights to it or something, it was rescinded. So right. That book was taken from her. So it's like someone coming in your house and say, right, the master of Kung Fu, the rights have been lost on that now. You can't
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it? Yeah.
And I mean, taken from you.
I advised on a couple of novels a couple of years ago, and I've got them on my Kindle, you know, because they were just too expensive. I got emailed them, and they would have cost me, you know, 30 quid to print them out. So I thought, I'll just put them on the Kindle. That's easy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. That's interesting.
But I'm not sure quite all the ins and outs in that. I can only recall from reading that article.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay. I don't think we have that issue with Comixology and all the other digital readers.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to just use Dropbox to read stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But you're a big Comixology user, though, aren't you, Vince? You use it all the time.
Yeah, yeah. That's my weekly comic shop, I would say.
Don't you worry that someday Comixology will go bust and all your library of comics will disappear?
Not really.
No,
you don't care. Well, the thing is, they're owned by Amazon now anyway, so, you know,
yeah.
I think the likelihood of that is less so. But also, when I'm reading, this is just me personally, when I read my digital issues, I read them. It's very rare that I go back and reread them. But there have been many times where I read a series and then I go out and buy the hard copy of the trade. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I double dip due to digital. I double dip more than I would with physical. I will read all of a series and just be like, this is brilliant. I need that on my shelf.
So will you read it then the trade? Will you reread it?
Yes. Yes, I have been there. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
I'll buy the trade because I want to reread it, you know. Sometimes I don't read it for a while, but there are times, you know, I will pick it up and look through it.
Yeah.
You know. See, with Invincible, I buy the single issues, the trades, and the big collectors.
But that's because you've got a problem, Dan. That's,
Yeah.
But I was following, like, Ryan Ottley and Robert Kirkman, and they were talking about stuff that was in their latest issue of Invincible, and it's like, if I'm only buying the trades, I'm, like, three months behind, and that's the fucking massive spoilers.
Yeah.
So that's why I started getting single issues again.
That's on them. But that ties in nicely to some of the replies we had to this poll. For instance, Chris Imber, @reckless_Imber, he said he wouldn't question the price point. If I love the creative team, I want to support it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pretending to be nice, we know that.
He's a horrible piece of work. With the indies, to get him to try something new above £4 is a bit of a turn off, but for the right book, I'd pay more. It's certainly interesting, like with digital, you can't pick it up and flick through it like you're in a bookshop. Yeah. I mean, with Comixology, you see a cover and then there's three preview pages.
Right.
Is that enough? You know, I think, is that enough to get you to convert you to buy it? I think with an indie book, probably more, but with the big two books, sometimes the art team changes two or three times in an issue, so you can't always count on the preview pages that you'll look at. Does that make sense?
We limit ourselves to 5 pages for a trade on Down the Tubes. I think that's more than enough.
Yeah.
If anything else can be considered, you know, just reading it for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Some previews I've seen where they do like kind of like a blank page or the title page. So
I know,
I'm not really getting
like
too much from this.
The recap page or something. You're like, really?
At @emmetoc_, he said, I'll take a punt on a digital indie book. They're competing for attention with majors with print distribution. So that's quite interesting.
Okay.
Have you ever walked past the table and seen a book that's too expensive so you haven't bought it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah, I think Chris is right about that. Just going back to what he said a minute about, or if it was said about £4 or £5 for a single issue on a table at a convention, I'm going to reconsider. Yeah.
Yeah. At Comics Anonymous, Budget, yep. Comics Anonymous. He said, I'd much rather pay the extra for hard copy, but then I'm old school, I guess, when it comes to my comics. I tend to think that digital has something missing. A lot of times I've seen a hard copy and thought it's a totally different book.
Yeah, I get that. I read that tweet when he sent it, Gary. Yeah, I completely agree with that. It almost has a different appearance to it, isn't it? Mm. There's something about the artifact that is a comic or a hardback or a, you know, trade. There's something about it that's, it's got its own personality, isn't it?
I completely agree.
A digital
comic doesn't always have. Yeah.
Don't want to sound like a Luddite, but fucking yeah, digital comics. I'm not really feeling it. But
yeah.
It's great for review purposes if someone sends one out, because it's.
But in a sense, you're talking about like digital singular issues, in the normal sort of monthly sense, because you also do a digital comic. That's a web comic, isn't it? You know, that's
yeah, true.
You know,
but I prefer reading the printed version.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old school. I prefer actual books. You know, one day I hope to have a bookshelf like Tony's, but without all the filth.
I imagine you have.
That's only one of many bookshelves. That one, you know it is.
Yeah, I know. It's like being in the home of Hannibal Lecter.
I always wonder, like Mrs. E, like Tony comes with another book, and she's like, "Tony, the foundations, they won't take it. It's fine." And then there's some, like dust comes from the ceiling when you put another book down.
Yeah. Sometimes when Stan runs around up here, you know, he likes to run around jumping on comics and stuff. I do worry, you know, there's going to be some kind of subsidence.
It's like Tony's house is like, you know, you get those horror films where, you know, someone's been haunting a house and then they break down the wall and dead bodies fall out. Yeah. But it'd be like that with Tony's house, and it'll be comics just pouring out of the walls.
Yeah. I have got into the eaves of the house now. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Just crawl about amongst them. Yeah.
Anyway, a couple more comments here. At this Chugglehead, he said, "I hate to bring up Kickstarter," so he's obviously been listening to the show. Yeah. But when one has their digital comic for £1, I'm more likely to donate.
Yeah, we agree. We always say that, don't we, about Kickstarter? Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah.
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 I was looking at one the other day that was fucking £5. For like 30 odd pages. I was like, this is ridiculous. And the print copy for a single issue was 15 quid.
Yeah.
Now it's about shipping because it was in America.
I saw a Kickstarter recently, and it wasn't for a book actually, it was for like a short film, like an independent horror film. And the £5 section was a thank you. Go fuck yourself.
There's a famous Kickstarter. I will say his name, Joel Meadows. Has anyone ever met Joel Meadows?
No.
I'd like to refer to him as Rich Johnson Light. That's how I said like. I think they were putting out a hardback of Tripwire, which is a magazine he's run for a long time now, a sort of comics magazine. Mm. And I think one of the rewards was that Joel will come round to your house and talk comics with you. Like, fucking hell, talk about putting anyone off buying the book, Joel.
Oh dear, do you think anyone will pay us money to go in their houses?
Pay us to keep away.
Yeah.
But I feel like, as Ryan Kalinti pointed out, that top one you've got in your Kickstarter, everyone's going to look at that one first. If you got something like, oh, $2 and you'll have our eternal thank you, can't give you anything, but for me that's an instant just buzzkill.
Whatever. And that's why
our eternal thanks. Really?
It's ridiculous.
Does it seem like you could put $3 or £3 for the comic or a PDF? Mm. At least you're getting something with that, and you know what the price is.
Are you allowed to offer sort of sexual favours? You know, if you give us $20, I can wank you off. Well, can you do that yet?
I think we'll have to look into it when we do our Kickstarter, Tony. So
yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's definitely write that idea down.
I better buy some gloves.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Dark glasses.
Yeah. Dark glasses.
I don't want to make eye contact.
Some sort of visor.
Splash.
Plastic sheeting for the walls. Anyway, right.
Where are you from? Hello, mate. I'm from Kickstarter. Here to wank you off.
Did you order a Kickstarter? It's like Deliveroo with wanking.
With a rucksack on so big. So hang on a minute, take my gloves out, mate. Which one did you order? The finger up your anus? All right.
I'm presuming this will be the higher carpet. Tiers.
This is going to cost extra. Right, hang on. I can't believe that the serious episode went...
I thought it was getting too serious.
It was. It was.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, it's having a fucking major fallout when we put an anal tier on it.
Tony, in all seriousness, yep. Never use the words anal tear on this show again.
Call it the anal tear.
Yeah. Oh, and we're back, folks. It's just like...
John, yes, my love. Somebody at the door for you. Hello, mate.
Why are you walking with a limp? Oh, my Kickstarter arrived.
Yeah. Oh, great. Didn't think that was going to turn up so soon.
That's what I love, Kickstarters who follow through.
Yeah. You got to think about your international backers.
Amanda, are you anywhere near New York? Yeah. Do us a favour, mate.
The postage is ridiculous. Well, you've got to think about flights, haven't you, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. What were we talking about? Pricing in comics.
Pricing.
I think we've covered quite a bit of ground there, haven't we?
Yeah, went all right.
I think...
Well, didn't you have some comics you picked out, Vince? Did you want to mention them?
Did I?
I mean, holy... You picked out three, and they were basically the whole kind of gamut of, like, one was...
It was
what I'd consider maybe underpriced.
The one,
one
that
was bang on.
Yeah, there was a couple of digital trades that I see, because whenever I'm on Comixology, I always check out. You know, sometimes you get some absolute bargains. Whether it's people collecting their web comics, you know, if people do a web comic collection, for instance, I saw one. Should I name the actual books?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, go on.
Go on.
Go on, you're not talking shit about them.
No,
it's literally stating fact.
Fact, isn't it? Yeah.
So here's two books, and there's quite a big difference in the two.
Yeah.
There's this, and I haven't read the book or anything, but this is a book called Template, The Binary Code, Season 2, Part 1. From what I gather, this is, I think it's guided view narrative or, you know, maybe a webcomic. So there's 753 pages. If it's guided view, that might mean more like panels, you know, so it's a bit more interactive. But it seems to be you get quite a lot. That's $4.99 for that.
Right.
Now, you compare that to Klaus from Boom Studios. And Boom put out great books. They do. This is a Grant Morrison and Dan Mora book. This is 202 pages, and it collects, I think it's six issues of Klaus. This is digital, remember? On Comixology, it's £24.49.
Fucking hell.
Jesus.
For how many issues, sorry?
I think it's probably six. Yeah, I think it's six.
Fuck's sake.
When I look at those prices, I can't see them having many sales initially. But then that will probably go into a sale, you know, a Comixology sale, you know, one of those 50% off sales.
But that's a Grant Morrison book, so people are prepared to pay over the odds for Grant Morrison books. And he's got a little bit of a following.
But still, you know...
They're still taking advantage of those people. I don't agree with it, but...
That is, £20 for a digital collection.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's £25 over here. But, you know, if you're looking at that as dollars, that must be $30, $32, something like that.
The other way it kind of racks up, doesn't it?
Yeah, for 202 digital pages...
Yeah,
you know, that's where you see the depth of difference between you know a lot of indie books, for instance. I've picked up collections. I think Sally Jane Thompson's Atomic Sheep, I believe her book was. That's a decent sized collection. I got it on Comixology. I think I got it for $2.99.
Yeah, it's ideal. Yeah.
And
more beautiful artwork you cannot possibly look to see. I love Sally's work.
Yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous,
And it'll say a lot about it. I hadn't experienced her work before. I saw that value, I saw the art, saw the price, and now I'm a fan. Do you know what I mean? I bought it because of those three factors. You know, it was something new that I wanted to check out. The price point was an absolute bargain, and you got a lot for your money.
Yeah. We might have her talking on a panel soon. I did a panel with her at Nottingham, and very good she was too.
Yes.
So we might put that out soon, won't we?
Yeah. Yeah. We're generous like that, aren't we? We're givers.
We are. Yeah, I like Sally. She's good company as well, Sally. Her and I always have a large talk about haircuts. both got amazing hair, so we talk a lot about haircuts. Yeah, I like her work very much. So if you haven't always heard this about Sally's work, if you have any cheering up, go to Sally's Twitter page and have a look at some of her art. Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous stuff.
It's lovely stuff. But I think, you know, just that example, you know, I'd never spend, who would spend £25 on a digital?
Yeah.
A 200 page digital book, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not slighting Boom Studios, because I know they've got some great books out there. But I can't imagine. You know, I can't imagine.
I can't imagine the actual physical copy costs much less.
Much different.
If it's a soft cover,
just go and buy it.
If it's six issues and it's a soft cover, how that can't possibly be £25? It can't, can it?
No. What's your slightly off that side? What's your thoughts on back issues? So, I know a comic shop, but not naming it. It has its current comics on the shelves. When it gets to the point where those aren't current enough to be on the shelves, it adds 5p to them.
What?
Because allegedly that is the price of the bag and the board, and it puts them in the back issue box.
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose it's more old school, but I always expected back issue to be cheaper. When they go up in price, it's kind of like, what?
I don't know how they sell them. You know.
I know that comic book shop in Bath, they used to do a thing where after a couple of months, you know, the new comics, there would be a section of the shop where on every Monday, every one of those comics that are like a couple of months old, they were £1 each. Do you know what I mean? So I could go in and on a Monday and I'd pick up a few new comics that I hadn't, well, newish comics, a couple of months old. That wall no longer exists, and that's a wall of Funko Pop. So, but that's another another thing entirely. But that was great, you know, because then
you're taking a chance on not on missing out on an issue. Okay, you accept that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I always say this about, you know, if you're moaning, as we do, moan about the price of comics, go to a comic mart, and you can buy comics that are 6 months out of date for £1 or 50p each.
That's really good.
Yeah.
You know, and you can buy some amazing back issues of stuff that will still blow your mind.
Yeah.
Sometimes for 10p each.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah, we've been at conventions, like, we've certainly looked at the back issue sections. I know I've been next to Tony just flicking through issues, just thinking, God, look at the price of that. That's ridiculous. 50p for this.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And you're coming back.
People need to remember that comic books go back. I've said this before, I'm boring, I know. But people need to remember that comic books go back further than the first issue of Deadpool. You know, there's some amazing stuff there, you know.
Yeah.
Some brilliant stuff that you can buy very, very cheaply in the back issue section.
Yeah.
You know, and you can get entire runs of stuff.
Yeah, I got some cracking issues of Excalibur for cheap when some of the collections are a little more expensive. So
And you probably got them for 50p a time, I'm going to say.
I did indeed.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, good shout. Yeah.
I'm such a cheapskate. Anyway, I think this is... Thank you for everyone that got in touch. Obviously,
it's a little bit of a dry subject, but it's certainly something we needed to address, I think.
Yeah,
And something it definitely is a subject that irks us all.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the small press did come out of it really well.
Yeah.
You know, there was very few small press companies I looked at and I thought, fuck me, they're taking a piss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of them are doing it because they love it and they're making just enough to get by at conventions. Yeah.
And everyone seems to understand that if you're an individual doing it, they understand the hard work that you're putting into it.
Yeah.
So that was great to see. So thank you to everyone that got in touch with the emails or
cheers.
Responses or whatever. Because, I mean, we can't read them all out. You know, I had to cherry pick a few, but that is certainly what I've noticed about when we ask people about these things, they start conversations within themselves as well. So there's some great discussion going on. So thank you very much for that. And I also think that one of the things that Rick brought up about the import prices of comic book shops and how that's changing, I think that's something, you know, maybe we get a comic book shop owner of some kind or someone who's got that experience to come in, because we could talk about it until our throats are sore, but I have no idea about running
how
a comic
book shop.
Yeah, a comic book shop. So I think that's something we should look at in the future as well. So thank you very much.
They've got overheads and shit to deal with.
Exactly.
A whole litany of stuff.
Exactly. Whether you're a one or a two-man band or you're a shop that employs sort of 20 people like some shops do, you know.
Yeah.
It's all different. Yeah, all different problems.
Yeah. So thank you very much for the email, Rick. It got us an entire show out of it.
Yeah.
But the show is not over yet.
No.
We've got a couple of special things for you. First up is Action Dan.
Oh yeah, I forgot we got these sections. Yeah.
Yes. Action Dan, the quiz where Dan Butcher, who said he knew about 80s action films,
rather foolishly it appears,
is tested every week by one of our lovely listeners. Now, 80s movies, 80s action movies, Dan loves them, don't you, Dan?
Yes.
How would you say you feel about them? If an 80s action movie was a person, how do you feel about it?
I'd have to control myself from physically assaulting them. Probably eat them at this time.
Oh, that's what I love about Dan. It's his passion. It's both admirable and terrifying.
Terrifying, yeah.
He loves With the Power of a Thousand Suns. Now, so every week, one of our lovely listeners will send us an 80s action movie trivia question that we then pose to Dan Butcher. And if he gets it right, then in your face, listener. If he gets it wrong, he then has to draw just a random sketch, whatever he feels like, that we then send to that.
I try and tie it into the question.
Yes.
So like, I drew the Predator for fucking up.
Yeah.
Which ordered Dutch's team die. I fucking knew that, but just
that was almost there. I was very impressed with what you did get, but yeah.
Yeah.
Vander, is it Vander who asked that question?
Vander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loved that, didn't he?
Yeah.
I've got fucking Hawkins and Poncho mixed up. Out of tiredness.
Schoolboy error. Schoolboy error, Dan.
Absolute schoolboy error. Basic.
You lose it in here, you're in a whole world of hurt. That's all I've got to say.
So, nice reference, Vince, like that.
Thanks. And now, this week, right, our question is, do you know much about Rutger Hauer films?
Ooh.
A little. It's not a strong subject, I've got to say.
Oh, I like his stuff. I might be
alright. Yeah, me too. We was only talking about Split Second the other week.
We were, weren't we? Yeah.
That's a great film. Now, from Graf Orlok, or as he likes to be known, Simon. he said, here's a quality 80s question that I hopefully stumped Dan. It's a double header, but only one of them will count as the actual Action Dan question.
Okay.
So the first one is the proper Action Dan, and then I'll ask you the second one just for a bit of fun, because that's how we do things on this show. Right. So the 1989 Rutger Hauer film, The Blood of Heroes, was also known by what other alternative title?
Fucking hell.
Well done, Simon.
Blind Fury.
That's what I said when I heard this.
And I was wrong.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other one what one did he do?
Do you know what? I'm not even sure if you've seen it.
I don't know, actually. No, you stumped me.
The other one I said was Wedlock, but that's a 90s movie, you reckon, ain't
it? Yeah, it was a 91. It says so on Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is just always true.
Yeah.
Right, so the Rutger Hauer film, The Blood of Heroes, was also known by...
Oh, I've got a feeling I know what it is.
Go on.
It's that Jugger one.
Oh!
Have you got it? Come on, Dan. Come on, son.
It's... I think it's Salute. Salute the Jugger. Salute of the Jugger. Salute the Jugger.
Simon,
like that.
You were so close, but Butcher has pulled
done,
it.
Nicely done.
I've seen that one once, I think.
Yes.
It's kind of like basically American football in the apocalypse.
Yeah. Which just when you say that, that sounds like the best film I've ever heard.
It does. Yeah.
Yes, Blood of Heroes was also known by The Salute of the Jugger or Salute to the Jugger.
I've never heard that title, Blood of Heroes.
No, I'd not heard that either.
No. There you go. So, well done, Dan.
Well very done. Good. Yeah. Very impressed.
Pulled down my ass.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, dear.
I'll tell you what's a good sci-fi or sort of fantasy film is Fatherland he's in. That's very good as well.
Oh. I've not seen that
one.
Oh,
is that the one with the alternative timeline?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
As for the second question, for a bit of fun, which country was it filmed in?
Tony, I've got no fucking clue. Just somewhere where there's a load of deserts.
South Africa?
No.
Tunisia?
No, Australia.
Okay. Right.
There you go. In Kuba Pedi, or Pedi, an opal mining region where people live underground because it's bloody hot.
Now,
okay. Yeah, fair enough.
See, I want on this show everyone to learn something once a week.
Yeah.
There you go, we've done it.
Nice one.
And the thing we've learned is never underestimate Daniel Butcher because he will drop the mic and shove it in your face.
I'm impressed, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Well done, Dan. Sorry, Simon. That was a. When I read the question, I did think, is this too difficult? But
I just about got that. I pulled that out of the recesses of my memory.
Yeah. What, he made some cracking movies like Split Second, Wanted Dead or Alive. I mean, The Hitch is great.
Blind Fury, which you mentioned first, that's actually the one where he's a blind samurai or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Is he like a blind ronin, isn't he? Sort of.
It's based on the old Zatoichi. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I completely murdered this pronunciation there. But yeah, on those stories.
So there you go. Action down for this week.
Beat Takeshi remade that. It's well worth looking at. I really like Beat Takeshi's stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
I learn so much about you every week, Tim.
Thank you.
He's Takeshi's Castle.
He's like this weird bloke who does. I mean, watch Sanjuro or Violent Cop. He does these incredible films, but he's also like also a stand-up comedian, and he does a game show. He's one of these sort of Renaissance men in Japan. He makes all these incredibly arty movies, you know, just really deep, but also just like a crazy person in real life as well.
Much like you, Tony.
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah. Thank you.
So, next week, send us another question for Action Dan. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com with the question and the answer, because I have no idea what half of these films are. And I love 80s action movies. Whereas Dan, he's a pro.
Yeah.
Don't know about that.
In the sense of being a prostitute.
Exactly. Yeah. But speaking of which, we have another section this week.
Speaking of which, this doesn't bode well.
Yes. We joked about it once before, but we're officially making it a thing.
Right.
It's Ask Auntie Tony.
When was it auntie? When did it suddenly become auntie? Okay, I'm going with it. It's all right, I'm going with it.
Yeah. Hashtag Auntie Tony.
This music bed, awesome.
I can't hear it.
It's beautiful. as well as action movie trivia, this show's going to give you relationship advice. Yes, each week, a lot of you people out there, you're in love, or you're heartbroken, or you just need help. Just with your day-to-day struggles in the relationship department, and we're here to help you, namely Tony Esmond, the man that has so many there's so many things I could have said, but he's got so much experience with love.
That is true. Well, lust on my own. Let's just say none of the advice in this is legally binding.
I'm not going to say we should have a legal note
to give any kind of advice, whether it be sexually or romantically or in any fucking way.
But basically what we're saying is this is just a joke. Don't take any of this.
Yeah, please. You know, if I tell you you need to go and buy anal beads, do not go and buy anal beads.
Yeah. Do you hear that, Dan?
Yeah.
Pretty bought them.
So when you said you pulled that idea out of your ass, you were...
I was literally talking about them.
Yeah. Yes.
Idea so beads, that's what we call them.
We've got our first, listener letter.
Oh, this is nice. I wish it was a letter written in crayon.
I'm going to treat it like it's a letter every week. So I'm just going to read it out for you. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Dear Auntie Tony, I'm having troubles in the love department, and I know you're just the man to help me out. I'm an up-and-coming 20-something who is in love with the woman in the office.
Oh.
Well, to clarify, I'm in love with the woman who comes in and fixes the vending machine. When I first saw her dislodging a sideways Twix, I knew she was the one for me. I found the best way to bring her was to feed French francs into the coin slot and clog it.
Good idea.
With my supplies of foreign currency running low and the conversations still at the high stage.
Since they've made fucking francs for a few years, I think it's probably...
Can you suggest any other ways I can block the machine or bring on the relationship? Love and kisses, Thomas Curry.
Oh, what a lovely letter.
Yeah, what a beautiful letter. And, you know, I really want to help this guy out, Tony, so what can you do?
Okay, let's look at this sensibly then. What time of day do you think she comes in to feed the machine Twixes?
11, I'd guess.
Yeah, I'm saying mid-morning. Yeah.
So, what does that mean?
Well, once a woman in my office shouted, "Eat a dick" at me. She shouted, "Eat a dick." Right. Because every time she comes in the office, I say something sort of sarcastic, you know. "Oh, yeah, well, your hair looks nice." And she once, she's I think she's Polish, this lady, and she shouted, "Eat a dick" at me.
She's got that Snickers phrase. Yeah, "eat a Snickers" phrase badly wrong.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So, but you're not suggesting that he should shout that at this lady?
No, never shout "eat a dick" at a lady. No. And never shout it from the bushes.
What?
Or a funeral.
Or the camping.
I mean, there's a number of moves on we have here. You know. Sorry?
Dan said, "or at a funeral."
So, for instance, you're in his shoes there, Tony. Like, you want to make your moves. What do you do?
Well,
she's got the vending machine open.
So, maybe she's got her head down and she's sort of loading the machine up.
With a double decker.
Yeah, she's got that double decker on the go. And I find, just put one foot up on the table and lean on your knee.
Yeah.
I think the reason for that is it exposes your junk a little bit. Yeah. Makes her know what she's getting. You know.
Are you? Sorry.
And then if she turns and rather making eye contact with you, she accidentally stares at her junk. Your junk. You're onto a winner, I think.
Yeah, if she's got junk, you're in the wrong game.
Well, you know, we're things, aren't we? I think go for the obvious, or just maybe hold something down at junk level and say, "Do you like my pen?" And when she looks at your pen, just move it away and then go, "Oh, I caught you staring at my junk, didn't I?" I think that's a good move.
This is a surefire winner.
Yeah. Just to simply imply that you caught her looking at your penis, I think it's a good way of getting women interested.
So what you're saying is you have to shame people into a relationship.
And then, as you say it, and she goes a bit flushed, give her the finger guns and a bit quick and walk off. And that's the ice broken, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Done. I think so. Yeah. I think that's a lot of things broken. A lot of damage has been done. But maybe, look, Thomas, maybe that'll work for you. Should he wear shorts?
Go for a little bit of sculpting down there, you know. You know, avoid the obvious crab ladder problems.
Perhaps if before she turned up, you could buy like a couple of boosts and then jam them in your underpants. So enhance your package.
Ask her whether she stocks the Hey Nonny Nonny machine as well. So do you stock any of the machines in the loos?
Oh, God. Why a boost, Dan? Of all the things to stuff down your undercrackers, why?
Quite melty.
Foil wrapping, so...
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see. Point. Right.
They can be stuck in the refrigerator and eaten later.
I think... I think obviously he should take it a bit slow. Don't mention Alabama Hot Pockets or Blumpkins on the first contact.
No.
Save that.
That's more a canteen conversation, isn't it?
Have a nice conversation, a sense of humour about you. You know, do the obvious, you know, body language thing with your leg up on the table, you know.
I think under a legal definition, she'd be a contractor in the company and would maybe not fall under sexual harassment.
Yeah.
So you might be able to get away with all this.
Sexually harassed her.
Yeah. Oh, God.
About that again, I'd like him to write back, just let us know how it's going.
Yeah. Thomas, let us know how it goes.
Plus, she wants to go out for brunch.
Yeah.
Or maybe go to the roller disco. That's one of my favourite places.
Ask her if she likes lentils. You know, just choose the most romantic discussion.
Yeah.
And go for it.
Don't
can't wait to hear back.
Yeah. So, good. Thomas, good luck.
Yeah, good luck, Tom.
Yeah.
With that advice, good luck.
Yeah, get a lawyer first. and then...
And if it goes really badly, do an autobiographical comic about it.
Yes, because you'd be able to charge quite a fair bit.
Yeah.
For it. So there you go, folks. As you can see, if you have relationship needs, we're here to service you.
Yeah.
And also, never accept a bounty from Daniel Butcher.
Yeah, yeah. From the Boots.
Still can't. Oh, why did I decide to put this bit in the show?
Give her a biscuit. Maybe they don't do biscuits. Offer her a biscuit. That's nice. I reckon if I'm there and the lady comes over, so do you want a biscuit? And she says, yeah, I've got a bourbon on my desk or something. I'll eat half of it and then I'll offer her the other half. That's what quite sexily suggested. What, did someone just try to put them out?
You savage. You don't go halves on a bourbon. Jesus.
I'm actually sick of seeing those kind of biscuits all day and longs for salad or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a risky move.
Yeah, eat half a smart.
I long for salad. Who in the world has
no one's ever said that?
Isn't it in TED 2 where she's going, what are you eating? And she goes, I'm eating salad, it's really nice. She says, nobody believes that. Yeah. Nobody believes it's nice. She says, no, it is nice. No.
Yeah.
Like that now. Yeah.
So, hashtag Auntie Tony. Let us know what you think about this
quite
new...
Quite a successful bit of advice there.
This new... Yeah. Exciting.
And if you do get married, we expect to be invited.
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah. That's the thing. If you send a question in, if this eventually leads to love and marriage, then we automatically have to have an invite.
And let's just put it out there. If you're the sort of person to videotape sex, then please send us a copy.
tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com
Some prudish people don't agree with it. I think, you know, whatever you like, do what you like, really.
Yeah. Exactly.
There are laws against voyeurism, I'd like to point out.
There are. with this sort of topic, we're going to need to put a disclaimer on all our shows, aren't we?
Yeah. Nothing we've said is serious.
No.
Apart
from a bit about videoing.
Send it to tony.awesome.com. do we have any shout-outs, gents?
This Friday, there's going to be the A Place to Hang Your Cape charity... calendar launch at Orbital Comics. I'm really struggling here. I think it starts at 7 p.m. or maybe 6 p.m. and there'll be artists from it, and they'll be selling the calendar, and they're inviting people to wear cosplay to it, and it's gonna be really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, come along.
I think we're going to it, aren't we? You're going anyway.
Hopefully,
yeah. I'll try and get there. Yeah.
Dan Butcher will be there.
I'll happily sign the page I drew. And Vince's, if he wants me to.
Yeah, I'll sign that.
God. Do not accept chocolate from either of these men. yes, it's going to be, it's a great event. It's for a good cause, and there's loads of great art in that calendar. So it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Now, Alan Henson gives a nod. Edinburgh Comic Art Festival. Have you heard about this one?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Saturday the 26th and Sunday the 27th of November in One Summer Hall Place, Edinburgh. It's basically a comic book event going on.
Awesome.
Cool. So more people need to know about it. I haven't heard too much about this one before.
No.
But what do you know about it, Tony?
I know that those guys, the Edinburgh guys have been posting, or the Scottish guys have been posting table locations and stuff like that on their Facebook pages. I almost made it last year and then didn't quite get up there in time, because I was up there for something else. But I do fancy going to it. Edinburgh's a great city as well. Mm. Really arty city. I recommend people visit it. Yeah, very good.
And this is also, it's free entry for all for
Brilliant.
This particular event.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely check that out. You can go to comicartfestival.co.uk. Find out more.
Yep.
So cool. There you go. And yes, it's been an emotional show, but we've got a little bit left. So let's recommend something. Yeah, somehow we've got a little bit left. So let's. What do you think that people should check out, Mr. Tony Esmond?
I've got two books, I'm afraid. I read one book this week and really liked it. It's a book I've been meaning to read for ages, and the Mighty Laming recommended it and sent me the Amazon link, so I bought it straight away. It's The Naked Artist, Comic Book Legends, and this is the expanded edition. It's written by Brian Talbot with illustrations by Hunt Emerson. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Did you post the image the cover?
Yeah. An image from it, yeah. Now, the image of it that I posted is from a story about... It's basically a book about that has stories about things that have happened at comic conventions. A lot of them are at UCAC, actually, Dan. Some at Bristol. And it's basically Brian Talbot, you know, One Bad Rat and Luther Arkwright and all those sort of books. He tells stories that in the prologue, he basically said, look, some of these may not be true. I've heard 5 different versions of some of them, you know. But they're worth telling because they're quite amusing. And it's basically sort of larking about and sort of hilarious incidents. I put a picture up of it on Twitter. That there's a picture of Grant Morrison, who quite famously, and at his own admission, shit himself on a plane after swallowing a load of drugs in his white suit. I think he talks about it on Fat Man on Batman. I think he expounds on what happened to him. And basically, he sort of he had some drugs left over when he was on his, you know, the early Vertigo days after Arkham Asylum, and he thought, I'm going to eat all these drugs rather than waste them. And then he got on a plane and in a white suit, because he thought he looked the shit in a white suit, you know, during the sort of Invisibles period, and shit his pants, and then walked about with a big brown stain on the back of his white suit for a while.
Shit in the white suit.
Yeah. So I put that picture up, and David Bailey, I said, can anyone spot which one it is? And it was David Bailey's... He actually said to me, I feel like I've just won Blockbusters, which I thought was quite a nice comment. But it's full of stories like that. There's stories like Hunt Emerson drawing on people's breasts. There's a story, you know, Mike Grell, who didn't get paid, so pulled a gun on the... these are either true or not true, I'd like to point out. Who pulled a gun on the owner of the company, so he paid him. There's a story about Alex Toth hanging someone out of a window who refused to pay him. There's lots of stories of Steve Dillon setting fire to people, God bless him, setting fire to people at comic conventions, you know, who are drunk at the bar, and all manner of... And it's just a funny book. It was only, I think, $7.99. There's a story of John McCrae famously losing all his clothes at a comic convention and running about in a hotel, hiding behind plant pots and stuff, trying to draw the attention of the staff there to let him back into his room. So it's good. It's worth getting. Very good. And then the second one I'd like to recommend is a book that we got sent in to the podcast by Lyndon White, who we mentioned a minute ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
A book called Sparks. It's a really, really beautiful book. It's put out by Blue Fox Comics. It's about the story of a little rabbit, a little robot, and him sort of travelling across a sort of dark countryside, and there's a magical otter in it. I quite like that. It's really interesting, and it basically strips back a lot of sort of stylized storytelling and tells a very beautifully told simplistic story with sort of the elements of life and death and creation and all this sort of thing in it. Really, really nice. It's available through Blue Fox Comics on Twitter. You can find Lyndon at lyndondraws, lyndondraws.com, or is at lyndondraws on Twitter. I think it's at Travelling Man. I think they've got copies. In fact, I'm just looking up on it. Message you sent me. So Travelling Man have got copies in Manchester, and he says he's making a trip soon to Orbital and Gosh, and they should have copies of it. But if you go to bluefoxcomics.com, you'll be able to get a copy there. I think it's something to do with Comic House as well. I think he's got something to do with them. Really, really lovely, painterly, abstracty, very good. Yeah, really nice. So have a look at that. It's called Sparks by Lyndon White. There you go.
Awesome. What about you, Dan?
I've not actually read any comics this week. I've been really bad. I did start watching the anime series, and now that doesn't really count.
Right.
I think I'm so late to the party, so I've been started watching Death Note.
People go mad for that, don't they?
Yeah. Have you guys seen that?
I've always been intrigued by it, but not quite sure.
It's quite an interesting premise.
Yeah.
But I would give it a crack. An episode or two, you kind of get the gist of it. So interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
I've been watching it on the train as I commute to draw. And
when he's dealing out justice.
Yes.
Now, knowing our sensibilities, mine and Tony, do you think we'd enjoy it?
I don't know. I don't know. It's really, it's a difficult one. It's not like an action series.
No,
at all. There's no action.
I know there's been several live action Japanese films of it, and they are making. And they're making an American movie.
Okay. Right, okay. No, I don't mean to sound racist in any way, and I promise you, I'm not coming across this way. But for someone who's been reading Western comics for 40 odd years now, can you read it left to right? Is there a left to right version?
Oh, this is the animated cartoon, so I don't know about the book version.
Because I read loads of manga or manga, what they call it, when they used to print it in a format that my eye was used to, put it that way.
Yeah, they flipped it.
Freaks me out. I keep flicking the wrong way. I keep looking at it the wrong way. So I sort of pulled back a bit from reading it when they just went back to traditional styles of printing.
Right to left.
Yeah. I would love more.
What's harder for me is that the speech bubbles, they're flipped as well. So you're reading from the right panel, right side of the panel to the left. Doing the pages,
I find
not so
that
much.
Difficult. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes that can be quite jarring.
Yeah, I read loads of stuff and I absolutely loved it. And then I was thought, oh, and then I realised that it was a lot of the stuff they're printing now is reversed. Not reversed to what they do, just reversed to what I'm used to, I suppose.
Yeah. It says a lot about like how individual people like to read comics, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Because some people prefer that way to the way we read comics, I guess.
Yeah, of course. Mm. Yeah, a lot of Western audience now, they're used to it. You know, it's just I'm an old bloke, you know.
Yeah. You're just living in your dungeon, surrounded by comics. And a webcam.
So you, Vince, what have you been?
This week, I thought I'd give a recommendation to a book that I've had for a while and I haven't had a chance to talk about. And that is Project Autumn, which is a Comic-Con. It's a comic village celebration. That's what they call it on the back. Now, the story for this is 16-year-old Orion has a little trouble telling what's real and what's not. Either way, things are about to get interesting. Yeah, that's what I feel like every week. he's just signed up to audition for a role as a sunsetter as part of a secret intergalactic rejuvenation project. Not that he remembers that. He's had his memory wiped as part of the process. Now, each issue, the thing that's special about this is each issue of Project Autumn is, as they say on the back, it's a collaboration between sort of creative comic creators who exhibit within like the MCM Comic-Con Comic Village.
Oh, okay, I've heard of this, yeah.
So it's telling this story, but because he's moving through different sort of parallel worlds and different dimensions and stuff, as he does it, the artists change. And the idea is like the artist, when they launched this issue, which was way back earlier this year, they were artists who were at that Comic-Con as well, the MCM. Right. So you could pick up this issue and then you could go visit those different artists and, like, you know, get them to sign the book, and hopefully it would introduce you to new artists, you know, because Comics Village is packed with so many different, like, creative people at MCMs. I know MCMs gets a lot of play for all the other stuff, the multimedia stuff, but it's great to know that that books like this are sort of pushing the comic side of it. And it was created by Adam James Folks, who I met and thought about, and also he sent in Far From Faith, which is a book that I spoke about a little while ago. This was his little project to try and bring together a lot of like creators who go to the MCMs. You know, it's a great little idea as well. I love the idea of like moving through these parallel dimensions and the art, you know, and having the art change because of that dimension. I love that idea. I mean, he's got artists like Nikki Stew, Lynn Triplett, Matt Dyson, Emma Vicelli, Phil Buckingham, Sonia Leong, Nick Angel, and like John Locke's also participated in it as well. There's loads of creators in this one. It's a nice sort of fairly thick issue one. And it also says on the cover, 44 pages with no adverts, full colour. You can, if you see them at any MCM, because it's quite an MCM-centric book, you could say. But you can enjoy the story on its own. It's not tied into MCM. It's not made, you know, for profit for the actual event itself. It's made by creators. So if you're at an MCM at any point and you see the Project Autumn banner, which I know they've got, pick it up, and because they're going to be doing more issues of this. But of course, the other issues will have different creators in it. So there you go. I think it's a really interesting project that deserves time as well. So there you go. Project Autumn.
Very good.
Yeah. So this episode's been jam packed with good comics.
Goodness.
And
sexual advice.
Sexual advice.
And Kickstarter ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. And lawsuits in abundance. I'm sure.
Pending.
Yes. But thank you to everyone that helped with this week. And like, we'll probably be next week's show is going to be something a little bit special.
Because
we're focusing on a book that's very near and very dear to our hearts.
Yep, Red Mask.
No one wants to know about that. The next show, we're going to do a little spotlight on Vanguard.
Yes.
Dan Butcher's Vanguard.
Cheers.
So I know, obviously, we do this show and we have a joke, but we don't always talk about our own books too much. I know, Dan, you certainly haven't said enough about your webcomic, which has been going on
for a long
time.
Yeah, we need to delve into the characters and the storyline a bit, don't we, and stuff like that. Yeah, cool. Definitely.
Okay. We've interviewed many a creator and asked them about their books, and I think it's time that we talked to Dan about his.
Flicked it around.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to flick Daniel around. That's what we're going to do.
So should we do it a bit like a sort of mastermind chair thing where we got to sit with you and like ask you in-depth questions, very sort of deep questions? I like this idea.
Yeah.
I like sort of probing you.
Yes. And
see, also, I worked ages before I said probing there. Do you see how that works?
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, we're doing an early recording. So if you listen to this on the Monday, if you want anything, if you love Vanguard and want to ask Dan anything specific, then get in touch with us. So on the Twitter.
You could put it out on the Vanguard site, couldn't you, as well, for any questions?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So there you go. Obviously, we'll have the other comics nonsense, but, you know, a little spotlight on Vanguard. It's been long overdue. We've got 73 episodes in, and I want to know more about what led Dan to become the maniac that's done all of this webcomic, and he's still doing it.
Yeah.
Well, if you find out, let me know.
Fuck you. Yes. So that's going to be next week's show.
And the special, he doesn't realise this, but the special guest is going to be his wife as well, so... Just like she's part with it,
and people that he hasn't seen for years.
This is your life.
Yeah. Remember that person that you owed money and therefore you left the country for.
Yeah.
Well, we found them. So that's stuff to look forward to. But we hope you enjoyed this show. Let us know what you thought about it and your own opinions on comics pricing. If there's anything we got right, we got wrong, let us know about it. You know.
Yeah.
We can't be right about everything, certainly not love advice.
But rarely, to be fair.
Yeah. So feel free to put us right if we're wrong. There's several different ways you can let us know you love the show, hate the show, or whatever. If you don't like it, don't listen to it, that's all we've got to say. But you can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, if there's any events, etc., tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, @theawesomepod. Like us on Facebook. We want to get those Facebook likes up, you know, because we're social media whores. No, we're not. but facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, where the other two, Dan and Tony, they post on there from time to time.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, we need to get more of a community going on there. We talked about it a bit, haven't we? But let's get on with that.
Yeah. We're talking about starting a group as well. So on Facebook.
Not like a musical group.
Yeah, not a musical group.
A cappella group.
Yeah.
Just talking about comics as opposed to politics. It'd be 24/7.
Earth, wind, and turnips. I don't know. Whatever. Thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. Thank you if you listen to us on iTunes. Leave us a review. It'll help get the word out about this silly little show that just aims to entertain and talk about comics. Apparently, that helps like people seeing the show, apparently, the more reviews you have. So there you go.
And let's not forget that we have sold a few comics for people, so leave us an iTunes review if we have sold comics for you.
Yeah,
that would be nice.
Please do.
There you go. And thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the Stitcher app or website or whatever, or via the Podnose Network. We love you all, people. We love you all. So where can people find us online, Tony?
Yeah, I'm Ezohyz on Twitter. And if you want to read my first ever lukewarm review, go to Down the Tubes. And it went up a few days ago. Have a look at that.
Is there a comic called Lukewarm? There should be.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Lethargic detective.
Lazy fucker. About someone in the small press scene.
Dan, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
There you go.
Awesome.
And you've got a couple of days to get through all 12 issues.
Yeah.
So, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty to check out there. You can find me online at Jester Diablo, and likewise, if you want to know more about my comic, The Red Mask, then go to theredmaskfrommars.com. Thank you, everyone. It's been emotional. It's been
indeed.
It's been all. I think people have learned something from this show, have they? I think so.
Well, hopefully.
Definitely.
I haven't, but yeah, you know.
Hopefully, yeah. They've learned never to accept chocolate from any of us. So, with that in mind, thank you for listening, everyone. Have an amazing week. Read lots of cool comics and just keep creating comics. We love you all. Have a brilliant week and stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Hello and welcome to episode 72 of the Hello You, and I'm doing it again. You.